Would you grab your Bibles this morning? Turn to Matthew chapter 24 as we interrupt our study in 1 Peter. It's very important that we look at some current events. And while you're turning there, I want you to understand that the reason why this is interrupting our regularly scheduled broadcast in 1 Peter is because recently, as you probably have been aware of, I've had a lot of travel come together at the same time. And I praise the Lord that it's done and committed to and over in history now. And I won't be running around for a while. But I've got to tell you that the things that I saw in these last 4 weeks have definitely fired me up. And I want to pass some things on to you that this morning, I want you to be thinking critically. I want everyone to be awake. If it gets too warm in here, we're going to turn on the air. If it gets too stuffy, we'll open the doors. If somebody falls asleep, I'll wake you up from here. Don't do it. I'm being a little flippant this morning, but I've got to tell you that with the things that are pressing upon my heart and with the fervency that I've got in my soul to convey to you this morning, out of Matthew 24 and other portions of Scripture, I'm going to be asking you to, number one, do this. Don't believe a word I tell you today, but search it out and see for yourself. Number two, for the next 45 minutes, give attention to what is said, if you agree with it or not. I will do my absolute best. It is my goal, it is my passion to give you nothing but pure Bible and current events. And then this, with the things that I'm seeing in the news, the things that we're reading about in Scripture and from our recent travels, what we've picked up on, I don't want anyone in this church to ever be ignorant about prophetic or prophecy of Scripture. Not on my watch. We are living in radical times, people. And we're going to go through a few things this morning that I hope will challenge you to be awake. Matthew chapter 24, beginning verse 1. It says there, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the Temple Mount, the Temple area of Jerusalem. And his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all of these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" Verse 3. "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives," that's just opposite the eastern gate, "the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us,'" here you go, mark it in your Bible, number one, "'when will these things be?' Number two, 'what will be the sign of your coming?' Number three, 'and the end of the age,'" or the end of the known world. "And Jesus answered and said to them," in verse four, "'take heed that no one deceives you, for many false Christs will come, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For ethnos will rise against ethnos," or in our English it's nation. We say the word, which we actually, if we're going to be more accurate biblically, it's ethnos in the Greek. It's ethnic groups against ethnic groups. Kingdom against kingdom. "And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. When they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." Verse 15 is critical. "Therefore, in light of everything he just said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, Mark and Luke tells us, standing where it ought not to be standing. And look at the insert that the Bible puts there for you, that Matthew wrote in there. Whoever reads, let him understand. That is a commandment to us. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe unto those who are pregnant in those days, who nurse babies in those days. And pray that your flight or your escape may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's Christ, or there, don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and show great signs and wonders, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. You need to underline verse 25, put your initials next to it, and stars, and everything else you can get out of your purse. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, don't go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, don't believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And he goes on to describe the events of the great second coming. Prophetic news Jesus gave us. It's recorded in Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21. You can read it later. You know, yesterday we were involved in a most beautiful wedding I've ever been to in my life. And you know me, I don't like weddings. But this was a neat wedding. And while we were driving there, we had directions. We had a map. And while we were heading up this road, we were so overwhelmed with the beauty of the place that we just kept driving. And I kid you not, I drove 40 minutes past the place I was to turn right at. Now, I pride myself on knowing where I'm going. Lisa will often say, do you know where you're going? Yes, I do. I don't ever want to be caught unaware. And man, we're just tooling along. Wow. Whoa. Wow. Look at this. I had a map. I had gas in the tank. I had time. I had a map. I had gas in my tank. I had time. But because I was not following the directions, I didn't even look at them. I was overwhelmed with the appearance of things. I just kept going. Missing the turnoff, wasting time and wasting gas, and thank God I got there to the wedding 5 minutes before the thing started. And began to sweat a little bit. But we got there. But I had a map in my lap. And it had excellent detail. If I was just to look at the map. The Bible tells us excellent detail about the times in which you are living now. You, who are listening right now, the time of all of us. About what we should be looking for, what should be warning us, how we should be thinking. And this morning, I'm going to say some things that might be offensive because, to be quite honest with you, I'm angry. I'm upset and angry that 39 people died just south of here. Because they wouldn't look at a roadmap. I'm angry because a false Christ, a false Messiah, appeared on the scene and led them astray. And he's not the only one. Your first clue was when you saw his face on Newsweek magazine. Is that not a frightening look? They have this glaze in their eyes. Have you noticed false prophets? Have you ever encountered any? Often they knock at your door asking for donations or for them to invite you to their so-called church. There's this look in their eyes. But we can't judge somebody by the look in their eyes. But we can judge people by their doctrine. And the Bible tells us that we are to know the Bible. The Bible tells us we are to know truth. And it's all laid out for us in the Bible if we pick it up and read it. But yet we're living in the days that Jesus promised that many, more than any other time in human history, more people would be led astray in the days in which we live than at any other time. And it ought not to be. We have Christian radio, we have Christian programming, we have Christian churches preaching and teaching the Bible, and yet there are more people going astray. Why is this? The title of the message this morning is really out of desperation from my heart, and it's entitled this, Remembering What Jesus Said. Will I remember what Jesus has said? The disciples came to him and said, look at the buildings of the temple. Let's just keep driving around the Temple Mount area, Jesus. And Jesus says, there's a right-hand turn coming up. And they just kept right on driving. They didn't understand or see it. And when this passage of Scripture was given, you need to understand in prophecy, you've been told it enough, that there's the near and the far fulfillment of Bible prophecy. When the temple was torn down, that was in 70 AD. That happened. Some 30 plus years after Jesus gave this prophecy, it happened exactly as he said. Jesus, in other portions of the gospel, said, I have told you these things in advance, so that when they happen, you'll know that I am he. He invokes the name of God, by the way. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, says the scriptures. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 9 and 10. You ought to jot it down. It's a great, great passage. Just put it right next to verse 1 of chapter 24 here. Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10 says, That which has been is what will be. This gets kind of fun. Hang on. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, See, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. Solomon tells us. Well, listen to this. Ecclesiastes 3:14. This is where God lives on the timeline. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away from it. God does it. That men should fear or be in awe before him. That which is has already been. And what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. You say, what on earth is he saying? God's eternal. You and I are coming on to the events of Bible prophecy right now in the news, but according to God's time, it's already been. It's here and now. What will be in the future is with God now. What has been in the past is with God now. What shall be in the future is with God now. But you and I are like little ants going across the sidewalk. Where you and I look down upon them, we see exactly where they're going. We see exactly where they've come from. But we see the whole story where that little ant is going. And God looks down from heaven onto our sidewalk and he says, I know exactly where you're going. And to us, the little blades of grass pass by and we fail to recognize the maps and the road signs that God has given us in the Bible to be alert and to be careful. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, Watch and pray. Be ready. That you might be found worthy. That is not good enough, but in Jesus Christ to escape the things that are coming upon the earth. And what are those things? We're going to look at them this morning. Before we do this, or I guess an introduction to it, Jesus talked about a time where obviously Jerusalem and the Temple Mount area would be the focal points of world history. What a ridiculous thing. Think about it. Jerusalem? I mean, it doesn't even have a seaport. There's not even an airport in Jerusalem. Until 1948, it was an absolute wasteland. All the trees had been removed from the earth there. Destroyed. It was an absolute barren nothingness. Jerusalem? There's no natural resources there. There's no oil wells in downtown Jerusalem. There's no big open pit ore mine or diamond mine there. It's Jerusalem. And yet the Bible says that right before the end, it would be the focal point of human history. Isn't that interesting? In my recent travels, it's been crazy, and I'm really glad to be home, and I'm glad to be staying home, to be quite honest with you. I'm sick of airplane seats. My rear end now is shaped to the shape of an airplane seat. And the sad part is I began to like airplane food. The last couple months, covered about 50,000 miles. And in one of those stops, it was in Holland, in Amsterdam, and I did the thing that I love to do the most, and that is get to my TV set to turn on CNN International. And I turned it on, and I was there long enough for them to repeat this advertisement over and over again. So I wrote it down because I could not believe what I was hearing. Are you ready for this? This is CNN International. CNN, one of the most liberal news agencies in the world. Very pro-Arab, CNN is. Listen carefully. We'll get into more of this, and I'm sure there's enough here to offend everybody this morning. Here's what happened in the advertisement for CNN on CNN International. They said, Jerusalem, with an exclamation point, Jerusalem, the newsmaker of the millenniums, home of the giant killer, Israel's youngest King David, the attention of the biblical prophets who wrote of times to come. Jerusalem, from its ancient past to its uncertain future, it has withstood the winds of time. Jerusalem, from its rebirth in 1948 to its continuous struggle to exist. Jerusalem, the city of great kings and the great, listen, the great tunnel. I got goosebumps when I heard it. I couldn't believe I had heard that on CNN. We'll explain in a moment. You can count on Jerusalem being in tomorrow's news, and so will CNN. With live broadcast to over 220 countries and territories around the world, CNN International is now bringing you live coverage of the next event that will shape our lives from Jerusalem, from CNN, the newsmakers, plural, of the next millennium. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I was waiting to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Antichrist. I mean, I couldn't believe it. CNN will be there for us in Jerusalem for the next event out of Jerusalem that will shape the lives of us all. What are they talking about? Home of the great kings? The newsmaker of the millenniums? Jerusalem. We had a private tour, a few of us. Gershon Solomon took us up on the Temple Mount and he sat us down and he said, look at her. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. And then all of a sudden, as he began to speak about his passion and what's happening in Jerusalem regarding the temple, he had just come that day. He was late in meeting us. He had just come that day from a meeting of men who had gathered together regarding the blueprints and layout for the coming temple. The temple spoken about by Jesus. There is no. Go to Jerusalem today. There's no temple there. There will be soon. Jesus said there would be. And there's a debate and an argument and on the verge of war almost constantly over a very small piece of ground called the Temple Mount area. And Jesus said that there'll be a temple in the last days that Daniel spoke to us about nearly 2,500 years, actually 2,900 years ago. And he says, listen, there's going to be a temple right before the end of the world, and there'll be a man standing in that temple, and he'll declare to the world that he is God. Well, the Bible goes on with great detail to tell us that the world will say, amen, he's God, fine, great. The Bible says it'll be a man of peace. What is Israel, what is Jerusalem consumed with right now? Arguments and treaties and plans about peace. And yet the peace apparently is falling apart. We were there on one of our days. We went and drove right past Harhoma. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. It's the hillside that's in your news, that they're digging up to build homes. And that night on the news, Benjamin Netanyahu came on the news and he says, listen, everyone's all upset and we've been warning people that we need to build more homes. Listen, for the people who are moving to Israel from all over the world. We need more houses and apartments. And we've been telling people we need to build them, and we're building them now. But the Arab population will not receive this. The Palestinians will not listen. And I watched local Jerusalem news in English, and then I saw CNN International. And it was absolute twisted in the presentation. I was shocked. I shouldn't have been shocked, but I was shocked. Netanyahu said when New York needs to house more people, they build houses. He says, I've been to Paris. And when Paris needs more housing for its people, it builds more buildings. And he says, Jerusalem needs housing because people are coming from all over the world to Jerusalem. And in Isaiah chapter 43, it says, just before the return of Christ, people will come from all over the world, from north, south, east, and west, to live in Jerusalem. The Jew who had never been there before will come back home. I talked to a man in Tiberias. I said, why are you here? He says, it's a good question. I was born and raised in America, he said. North Hollywood area. He said, I felt in my heart in my early 20s. I was Jewish, Jewish home, Jewish background. I'm Jewish. He said, I had to go home. And he says, I sold everything I had, which was not much, and I wound up showing up in Jerusalem, showing up in Israel. And now he goes, I've been here ever since. And he says, I've talked to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people personally with the same story. There was a drive to come home to a home that was never our home physically. But we knew once our foot touched the ground, it was our home in our heart. Isaiah chapter 43 talks about this, people. In Israel, the graves of a Jew you can always find, because they're always facing the Temple Mount. I mentioned this to you recently. I'll say it again for those who missed it. It's so important. When the Jews were buried, and when they're buried in the direction that their feet are toward Jerusalem, because they believe, remember, they're Jews. Christians and Jews believe in the resurrection. They believe that when they're raised from the dead, when Messiah comes, their head, when they rise, is to be facing the temple. And so you can, where you're at in the world, you can find an Orthodox Jewish-type grave. It will be pointing towards Jerusalem, towards the temple, anywhere in the world. We were flying on the airplane to Israel, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't 3 o'clock in the afternoon where we were at, but it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Jerusalem. Guess what happened? I'd never seen this before. I'd never been to Israel before. And it freaked me out. Little alarms go off. Beep, 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 beep. Well, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Jerusalem. People started getting up and going to the back of the airplane and putting prayer shawls on and figuring out which way was towards Jerusalem. And they put their face towards Jerusalem and they began to pray. It's very beautiful. When you're buried as a Jew, you're facing Jerusalem. When you pray as a Jew, you face Jerusalem. When they came down to the Wailing Wall on Friday evening for Sabbath, they came down singing and praising the Lord. Some of the songs they sang, you would have recognized. I had chills up my back. I couldn't believe it. And they're singing and they're praising the students, the seminary students there, the Bible students. And they go down. And as soon as it's over, as soon as it's over, there's this broadcast over the entire city. It sounds like cats being run over. It's frightened me. It's rah, 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 rah. And I'm like, what is that? And it was a prayer. It was an Islamic prayer that was announced. And someone told me what it was saying. The prayer was introduced by saying, God has no son. God has no son. Isn't that interesting? God has no son. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't it interesting that an announcement would be made? God has no son over the entire city of Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting that when those bulldozers went into that hillside that day to break ground to build those buildings, fulfilling Isaiah 43, or at least beginning of it, that stones began to be thrown at tour buses. We missed it by 4 hours. That a bomb goes off in Tel Aviv killing people? Protesting what? The building of these homes. But that's not it. It's the protesting of Jerusalem being under Israeli control. That's the issue. Yasser Arafat says so, and I have it in print out of the newspapers. Yasser Arafat says, and I don't know why we're not hearing this from Mr. Bill, from our governmental leaders. I don't know why we're not hearing this. It's in the quote, Johannesburg, South Africa. Yasser Arafat said, we will not rest day or night until we execute a holy jihad on Jerusalem and kill Christian and Jew alike until we occupy and that flag flies over Jerusalem. Kill him if we must. What's going on? Jesus says Jerusalem would be the place, the focal point. The Old Testament prophets said Jerusalem would be the focal points. CNN says Jerusalem would be the focal points. We need to read the roadmap and be very, very careful, people. False Christ and false messiahs will arise. Listen to this. And there's so much here. We're going to fail miserably this morning. I hope it provokes you to be on your toes. If that's what this morning causes in your hearts, then praise the Lord. Marshall Hriff Applewhite, known as Dew, to his true believers, is not the first millennialist prophet, and he will almost certainly will not be the last. What in his strange brew of twisted, listen, Christian theology, castration, science fiction, belief in UFOs, mastery of the internet led to the deaths of 39 people? Christian twisted, yes, Christian theology? Listen, false Christ and false messiahs. If somebody came knocking on your door in a clown suit, would he say, "Hi, I'm the Messiah"? You'd say, "Get out of here before I knock you out." No, but if somebody came with power, maybe they're very charismatic, or maybe they have a great way of magic, or maybe, like the Bible talks about, people being demonically energized in the end, able to do great signs and wonders that Jesus said, if it were possible, it would deceive even those of his own children. We're talking about deception we have not yet seen. That's why you and I turn on the news and we look at these 39 cases in San Diego and we say, how stupid can somebody be? Listen. You know, I know people with PhDs following the most ludicrous doctrines and teachings, all because they've rejected the roadmap to everlasting life that comes through Jesus alone. But how do you handle this? Listen to this. Their bodies were containers or vehicles, and their occupants recoiled at human touch. They were lost souls, literally searching uncomfortably in their own skin, desperately looking for a home that they could never find. You know, I read that a little bit differently. That frightened me when I read that, because the book of Hebrews says that Abraham was not comfortable in this world, and he looked for a home whose builder and maker is God. Doesn't that make you a little uncomfortable? Are you one of these kind of lunatics? I had somebody tell me, you know, your Christian message, you talk about this rapture thing. You even got a drink named after the coffee house. It's so good. And you guys are waiting for the rapture. Well, you know about the rapture. Jesus is going to call us up into heaven. That's been Christian doctrine for 2,000 years. In fact, I think it's older. According to the book of Isaiah, it was written, the rapture. Isn't it interesting? How do you handle that now? I feel a little uncomfortable. Because this guy preached that they were to lay down and wear their Nike shoes, have $5 in cash in their pockets, and 2 quarters for celestial pinball or something. They were to be draped in purple, waiting. Because behind the comet Hale-Bopp, which you haven't seen yet, you've really blown it if you haven't seen it. Get out tonight, about 8:30, 9:30. Look in the western sky, you'll see it before it's gone in a few days. They said behind Hillbop was a UFO coming to take the faithful from the earth in a light of glory. You know what it says in Newsweek? It says here, this is why I'm angry this morning, and you should be too. Dew and Ty, Dew was this guy, Applegate, and Ty was his little sidekick. Sounds like a cartoon, doesn't it? They believed themselves to be named after or existing after the two witnesses revealed in the book of Revelation, who are slain by a beast from the depths before rising to heaven. Like Jesus Christ, Dew and Ty believed they would be assassinated and rise from the dead and be taken up into a cloud by a UFO. Like Jesus Christ? You see where this is going, people? This is Newsweek magazine, not your greatest theological commentary. Like Jesus? Did Jesus believe that we were going to be taken and he was going to be taken up in a UFO? Do you see what's going on? False Christ will take a little bit of the truth and impregnate their doctrines of hell just to deceive people along the way. And isn't it interesting? Every time I lay this out for you to be challenged with, mark these words. Every time there's a false Christ and a false Messiah that shows up on the scene, isn't it interesting that it's always mentioned in connection with Jesus and Christians? Never Muhammad and Islam, or Buddha and Buddhism. Do you understand? Do you see that? Doesn't that give you a little bit of curiosity rush? Why? Jesus says many false Christs and false Messiahs will come. Isn't it interesting that there's a general animosity against the Christian doctrine, the truth that's revealed in the Bible? And yet if I stood here, like I've seen this last couple weeks, and hear the stuff I've seen on TV and the stuff I've seen in person about New Age. In fact, to be quite honest with you, Heaven's Gate cult embraced Christian beliefs, Black Islam, Buddhism, and they made it into a hodgepodge for the New Age. And you're living in it. It's invaded our school systems. It's invaded our government. I encourage you, if you have access to the internet, get on the internet and see what Al Gore is talking about. Al Gore is a New Age salesman and a salesman of the New World Order. I read so many quotes this week about the New World Order. It's unbelievable. A one world government. A one world religion. A one world nation. In the last couple of weeks, I've come in and out of Europe a few times, and you always see the stars circling, the stars of the European Union ensconcing or circling the globe in the USE, the United States of Europe, coming to one currency and electronic currency. Isn't that interesting? The Bible tells us in Revelation 13 there'd be electronic currency. No longer dollars. Isn't that interesting? The Bible also talks about out of Europe will arise a man, as we mentioned earlier, the Antichrist, who will be a promoter of peace to Israel. Just so you'll believe it, I'll show it to you. This is the European. It's Europe's number one newspaper. You can get it anywhere in Europe. See it here. The EU draws up Middle East Conduct Code. As United States President Bill Clinton prepared to launch a last-ditch attempt to save the Middle East and its peace process, hopes are growing and are now prospering as the European Union might finally play its key role as an honest broker in peace. Miguel Marinas, whatever. The 45-year-old Spanish diplomat and Middle East specialist, who is in the Eastern or in the European Union's increasingly influential Middle East peace process and envoy, is drafting a code of conduct designed to break the deadlock and bring peace to the Middle East. Hey, the Bible says that this man of sin, the Antichrist, will come out of Europe, Daniel tells us, bringing the ultimate peace plan. What is it? Interesting. I mentioned to you how the Jews face Jerusalem when they pray. Well, remember I told you about that prayer that was offered up over the speakers throughout Jerusalem? This may be offensive. It is truth. I'll be careful. A gentleman to my side, Jewish man, he says, he just got done telling me which way they face. And he says, no. Jerusalem is God's city. It's God's home. He says, when we look at Jerusalem, we face it. And we walk away from Jerusalem and from the Temple Mount, not turning our backs on it, but walking backwards because he is so awesome of a God. And I thought that was beautiful. Isn't that a beautiful thing? When the prayer is offered up through Islam, in Islam, you know which direction they face? 180 degrees opposite. They bow and their rear end faces the Temple Mount. I found that interesting and very symbolic. Why did CNN mention in their advertisement on international TV to 220 countries and territories around the world that Jerusalem was the home of the prophets, the giant killer, King David, and the place of the tunnel? The what? What is that, a subway system? Do you know what the tunnel is? I couldn't believe they said it. That's why I said, I've got to get this for you. I've got to get this again. The tunnel. We talked to Jews in Jerusalem who said, we know where the Ark of the Covenant is. It's in the tunnel. And we're going to get it. We're going to bring it out when the time's right. We know where the Ark... You know, listen, Indiana Jones. The Ark. They said, we know where it is. We know where it's at. Isn't it interesting that this tunnel... There was a tremendous ruckus on the Temple Mount when they were digging through and going into this ancient tunnel. And news was spread to the Arabs up on top, and they cracked open the surface and they began to pump concrete down, surrounded the trucks with machine guns and everything to block the tunnel. Did you hear that on ABC News? How come Peter Jennings didn't tell us this? It's awesome stuff, people. There are all of the implements for the temple that have already been made. You can go to Israel and see them. They're on display. Pure gold, pure silver, pure bronze, huge things for the temple practices. We've got the Middle East saying, we've got Europe saying, we're going to bring peace to the Middle East. We've got talk about a one world government. We've got talk about a cashless society. We've got talk about technology, the millennium, false prophets. It's in the news, it's in the Bible. We're living in incredible times. And you will be sucked away if you don't read your Bible. Well, I come to Calvary. That's not enough. Coming to Calvary is not reading your Bible. You must read your Bible now, people. Let's pretend. Let's get on like Joel Javer and McGee Let's get on the Bible bus. And let's look at the roadmap. I have so much to talk about. Time is gone. We could go on for days. I've been quoting to you news this morning from Jerusalem Post, from the International Herald. Just in the International Herald alone, it says the United States is now unsure how to deal with Israel. Listen, we better be good. I'm not saying we have to agree with everything Israel does, but we better be careful with Israel. Every nation, mark this, go look and see, every nation that's turned its back on Israel has fallen into judgment, serious judgment. That's not my opinion. That's human history. Check and see. You haven't seen any pharaohs walking around, have you? Don't mess with Israel. Just don't mess with them. God says, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. He was talking to Israel. The United States, pray for our leaders. We need to stand behind Israel. This newspaper was so full of prophetic significance. Here's another area. Ezekiel chapters 36, 7, and 8. 3,200 years ago, the Bible prophesied that Israel would dissolve as a nation and then become a nation again, the only country in the world to do it. The Bible says that would happen, and it did it. It did it exactly that way. I don't know who you are this morning, but that ought to get your attention. There's no nation that has ever come back a second time and become a nation. But the Bible said it would happen thousands of years ago. Well, it says that during the time of it dwelling in its own land, it will be invaded from the north by a formidable enemy of an Islamic confederacy. Ezekiel 38 and 39. And in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it says, whoever the one who thinks up this battle, they will be the one that supplies the other nations around them with armaments. It says in the Bible that that nation will be a supplier of weaponry. Ezekiel 38. Don't talk to me about our love for the Russian people. It is well known. And I'm not talking about Russian people. I'm talking about the sinister, I think, still in power Soviet government. I'm not talking about its people who have captured our hearts. Isn't it interesting? This week, Russia wheels and deals the Gulf arms. Isn't it interesting? It says in here and on CNN that Russia has signed a major arms treaty with the Islamic nations of the Middle East for military goods. The problem is, the things that Iraq and Iran are buying from Russia, they have about a 3.5-year shelf life left, nuclear speaking. They only have a 3.5-year shelf life left. And then they're no good. Would you pay billions? This one case, $24 billion for a couple of warheads. Would you pay that kind of money and not use it? I don't know. A jihad, Arafat said, against Jerusalem? Land for peace? We're living in critical times. Isn't it interesting? This saddens me. It says, this is an international paper from Amsterdam. It says, many Americans believe in the existence of UFOs. And it goes on to give an article about how America's falling in love with the coming deliverance of UFOs. Are you? Man, I could go on and on, and you're praying that I stop now. And I will. This is what happens when you sit on a plane and read too much. I want my kids saved. I want your kids saved. Saved from what? From a coming judgment as Apple, what's his name? Applewhite said, from a coming judgment. Hey, the Bible says there's a coming judgment. To be taken up into glory? Yeah. That's what Applewhite said. To go to a better life? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. That's what Applewhite said. Because of the recent events that have happened in the world, you can go to brunch this morning and say, I'm a Christian, and people are going to go, oh. When 50 years ago you would announce if you're a Christian, people would respect you. They made it a point in Newsweek to state that Applewhite was the son of a Christian pastor. And interesting. I almost feel like saying and ending this message, I almost feel like saying, Jesus, when the disciples were offended at his doctrine, Jesus says to the 12, will you too go away also? In my heart this morning, there may be people by the hearing at the end of these three services today. Somebody might say, you know what, this is a little too weird for me, buddy. I'm checking out of here, man. I'm going to go to the beach. And that Satan just goes, yeah, one more soul snatched from the loving arms of Jesus. My false prophets are at work. Know the truth. And be armed with knowledge. Jesus said, be as harmless as a dove and as wise as a serpent. Let's pray. Lord, I just think this morning, thoughts running through my head. I'm upset because there's 24 hours in a day. I'm upset because the night comes and we have to get sleep. I'm upset because time is passing and so many people are driving down the road, looking at all the oohs and the ahs, and they've missed the turn. Even though you told us in advance what to look for. And sleep and rest, though it is great and needful, I just view it as such an inconvenience at this late hour. Father, I pray that you'd baptize this church in truth. God, that you would embolden our hearts to love people, not for love's sake, but for your sake. And Father, that in these hours, may we, Lord Jesus, use the events around us with our Bibles open to lead people to Jesus. To not cower away now, but to stand up and say, listen, Jesus told us about Applewhite. Jesus told us about signs in the heavens. Jesus told us about the search for peace in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us. And Father, I pray in the name of your Son, and I know it is your will that you galvanize this church into action, not to overthrow, but to win over hearts through our witness, through our walks, through truth. Jesus, protect this body. I thank you that they're yours. I thank you that you died for them, that you watch over them, that you keep them. Lord, magnify your presence here. And may we be a discerning people. In Jesus' name, amen.